Welcome to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. What you are about to hear may make you laugh. It may make you cry. It may make you shake in your boots. Two prison gods talking about strange things in the night they may never understand. And here are your hosts, Tom and Joe.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 8 of the Ghost Hacks Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
I'm Tom.
And welcome, everybody. We have a great show for you tonight. We have an awesome interview with personal trainer and author Danny Cavadlo a little bit later. But first, you're going to have to hear us bitch and complain and talk for a little while. So
sucks for you.
but hey, people seem to like it for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's working.
yeah. You know, don't change the format if it's working.
Yeah.
So I know it's not like we're beating a dead horse, but I feel like we're kind of harping on a certain subject lately. But it's only because there's been so much in the major media outlets coming out about UFOs and aliens. It's kind of hard not to, you know, not to talk about.
It's every time we go to record, it's a press release.
Yeah. And it's like big news, you know. It's never like this like stupid like National Enquirer right. type thing. It's on major outlets. Right. You know, so that's pretty crazy to me. I guess the first thing that I want to talk about is this article that now okay. I'm reading it from CNN.com. All right. Regardless of political views, it's still a news outlet.
There are those who might disagree, but...
And it has been on many, many other news outlets as well. So this isn't just like a CNN story. This is like a major media story. The U.S. intelligence agencies have 180 days to share what they know about UFOs, thanks to the COVID-19 relief and spending bill. Now, this was posted on January 10th. So 180 days from January 10th, they have until to talk about some UFO stuff that we might not know about. So what it says here is Donald Trump had signed this $2.3 trillion coronavirus relief and government funding bill in December. When he signed that bill, one of the stipulations was the 180, actually, okay. So, yeah, so this was in December. When he signed this bill, that's when the 180 days had started for the U.S. intelligence agencies to tell Congress what they know about UFOs.
The only problem is they could tell Congress everything they know. If it's a closed-door session, we will never find out about it. Or they get a fall guy. Hey, Ghost Joe. Go stand in front of Congress. Congress goes, Ghost Joe, what do you know about UFOs? I don't know nothing. What are you talking about? Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Exactly.
Checks in the mail. Yeah, no, I mean, this is some crazy stuff. And let's see. Let me read some more here. It's a stipulation that was tucked into the committee comment section of the Intelligence Authorization Act. The fiscal year of 2021. So this was one of those things that they just stuck in there just so it could get passed, because it wouldn't have, you know, been passed on its own. So they knew that, you know, whatever they were putting this in was going to pass. So they put that in there just so it could be on there and it could get passed as well. So it says here that Congress has long been interested in UFOs. The Pentagon released 3 short videos in April of last year showing unidentified aerial phenomena. We're gonna have to link those clips.
Yeah, we talked about them.
Yeah, yes, we did. The videos, one from 2004 and the other two from 2015, show what appear to be unidentified flying objects rapidly moving while recorded by infrared cameras. In the age of drones, too, though, it's kind of difficult too. I think. I mean, of course, like the government could tell the difference between a drone and something much bigger. I would hope so, you know.
You think so? They couldn't keep a guy with a buffalo headdress out of the U.S. Capitol. You think they know what a drone is? Come on, man. Come on, bro.
I don't know if I agree with their mission, but I really did like that buffalo headdress. I think if we ever turn into a video podcast, I think I'm going to wear that.
While playing guitar. I think that's your look, man.
I think so too.
You've been looking for a shtick. This is it, bro.
That's it. You know, I'll have my buffalo headdress, you know, my weed wax, and I'm ready to go. Corrections. I did not mean that. I don't take no weed wax. Don't send me for any urine tests, all right?
No, go for the urine test. It's a day off. You're a straight shooter, man.
I like where I work now, man. I don't want to take time off from where I work. You know, it's crazy because working in some of the craziest places that I've worked in, it's very strange to work in a place where when they send me for training, I'm like, oh, damn it. I gotta go to training. Like when I used to go up and say, like, listen, I think I'm going to need some training soon because I don't remember shit, you know,
just
to get the hell out of the jail for a day or two. But now I'm just like, no, I want to stay. I want to stay.
You want to send me to two different kinds of training and a PP test? I'll take it. That's 3 days off right there.
So, yeah, so that's that. There was also, I don't have the article pulled up right now, but there was. What's up?
Well, you know what? I'm sorry to interrupt you. One thing we didn't think of, maybe this is the softball, the 180 days for everything we were talking about last week, the dead alien civilizations or alleged or whatnot. Maybe this is finally the softball we know the Klingons are out there.
Also, there was a sighting in Hawaii as well. There was a mass sighting of an unidentified flying object in Hawaii recently.
Well, finally the aliens are wising up. I'm going to go to Hawaii if I'm an alien. You know what I mean? Always Montana, Idaho. Listen, I'm sure they're great places, but they're cold, bro.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, and they probably don't want to mess around with like Bigfoot and stuff too, because Bigfoot likes the mountains and the forests and shit like that too. So they probably want to stay away from Bigfoot, you know, have their own area.
Yeah. My man can throw fists. My man Bigfoot. Yeah.
So what's your article about?
I had a scientific article that was about a Goldilocks planet, how life could have been there, yada, yada, yada. But it's 2,000 degrees Kelvin on this planet. There's no way to even go search for it. there's no way we can land anything to see if there was life. So I found my B-list article here is Shades of the Jetsons. Not really supernatural, but we all grew up on the Jetsons. GM has unveiled a self-driving Cadillac that can fly, bro.
Wow.
This is in the news. General Motors on Tuesday presented a futuristic flying Cadillac, self-driving vehicle which takes off and lands vertically and carries the passenger above the streets and through the air. Nice. And of course, they went Cadillac.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Yes. Yes.
That's the luxury vehicle, man.
Just so they can hit you with a first class price with your car.
Yeah, I'm sure the only people that could afford that is like Bezos and Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and stuff. But that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's a single passenger and it's a vertical takeoff and landing drone. It will be able to travel from rooftop to rooftop at speeds up to 55 miles an hour.
Now, is it going to have the safety mechanism that the cars in Demolition Man had, where like if it crashes or something, like it like some foam shit comes out and it covers the
No, but unfortunately the radio only plays the Taco Bell commercial.
Oh no. I like that ad lib. That was good. I like that. See, we all learning some stuff doing this.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my what I brought to the table this week. Not much. I just found it fascinating that we're now the Jetsons.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm also going to link the video or the article about the Hawaii UFO spotted as well. I'm going to put that in the show notes for everybody. Also, let's tell everybody what we got going on. We have a brand new website, www.ghosthackspodcast.com, where you could listen to our podcast. You could look at our blogs that we put up, recent Twitter feeds. What else? The store that we have connected to that. All of the proceeds that we would make, 100%, are going to a charity called the First Responders Children's Foundation. And that might change, you know, from time to time. We'll change the charity as well.
Yeah. If you buy that Ghost Hacks hoodie, we are not getting a penny of it.
Not at all. Not at all.
Going right to charity.
Absolutely. So it's for a great cause. So buy everything you can, you know. On the website, you could also, if you press the little blue microphone on there, you could leave us a voicemail of any kind of paranormal experiences that you want to share, anything that you'd like to share with us. Just click that little button. And, you know, if you have a microphone or if you're doing it on your phone or something, you could record a little message for us and tell us what's going on.
Yeah. You could always call us and leave a voicemail. 845-379-1331. And I can just about guarantee you, if you leave us a voicemail, we're going to play it. We love getting them. And it's it breathes a little life into the show. I really like the, I got to be honest with you, Ghost Joe, I think it's really cool that people want to interact with us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I was telling you last night, too. I mean, we have all these new listeners from, you know, all over the world now. It's amazing. It's amazing some of the countries that are listening to us.
I know, man. Also, our Instagram is actually taking off over the last 2 days. So we are the Ghost Hacks Podcast on Instagram. Please like and follow. Oh, and also, Ghost Joe, in the like and follow department, if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, if you could go down and give us a like and a follow and write us a review. No idea why, but if you write us a review, Apple pushes up our podcast to different listening categories or something. I don't know how it works, man. I'm a jail guard, but this is what we were told.
I didn't even know how Instagram worked. You know, it took me this long to do an Instagram thing. I think had an Instagram just because I made an account like a long time ago, a personal one. And I was like, well, nobody wants to see pictures of me. So what the hell am I going to do with an Instagram? You know, but you're absolutely right. I mean, just in the past couple of days that we've had this Instagram up, I mean, it's blowing up. I can't believe it. And I thank everybody for that. That's great. You know, thank you so much for supporting us. It's awesome.
Yeah, just the other podcasts that are sliding into the DMs and introducing themselves, and they wanna work with us. It's really cool. I like the interaction. I got an Instagram challenge for you, Ghost Joe.
Okay.
Because we're always talking about our rock and roll lifestyle before we were hacks.
Right.
So I'm gonna post a Tommy Rockstar photo. I want to see one from you with the long hair and the guitar. Oh,
you, all right, sure, I'll definitely do that.
All right,
absolutely. Yeah, I even have one where I posed, and I don't know what the hell chord I was playing. I think I was just making up a chord just because it looked cool. But you know, I was 18, you know, so I had my long hair then. And, you know, now you know, I don't have any hair anymore, you know, by choice.
Oh, no, you still got the...
By choice. It's by choice.
You know? Right. You still got the long hair. It's in that box underneath your couch over there. I see it right in the Zoom.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. Yeah, just so if people don't know, you know, where me and Tom are both actually, I think that's what kind of drew us together, you know, when we were working together was our love for heavy metal and the hair metal and the 80s, you know, the 80s music and stuff.
Yeah.
But I've been playing guitar for 25 years now. You know, I probably should be way better than I am, but you know, I don't practice quite as much as I should.
Well, hate it, man. That's how I met JK, man. We shared a Hollywood apartment, both trying to be, I was trying to be a rock star. He was trying to be a famous artist. So 50% of it worked.
But, and actually, if anybody hasn't listened to that show yet, please go back and listen to the JK Woodward show, because that was a great interview. We're definitely going to have him on again. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, because he actually surprised me, because I'm like, well, what could this guy know about, you know, paranormal stuff? He knew a lot.
He knows a lot, bro.
He knows a lot. That was awesome. And the interview coming up with Danny is awesome, too. So please stay tuned for that. He was funny, very informative. And yeah, you're going to love it. So definitely stick around.
Definitely. Danny's a wild man.
But if you got nothing else, man, I guess we'll get on with this interview.
I got a frittata upstairs waiting for me, man. I don't want to punch out early, but I'm starving.
I hear you. So, yeah, so everybody just sit back and listen to the interview that we have with personal trainer, author, fitness guru, Danny Cavadlo, and check it out. And we'll talk to you guys soon. So with us right now, we have Mr. Danny Cavadlo. He's a personal trainer out of Brooklyn, New York. Danny is the author of a number one Amazon bestseller, Get Strong and Strength Rules. He's been featured in the New York Times and the Huffington Post, and is a regular contributor to bodybuilding.com and Train Magazine. And he's also had a few other books as well. So please welcome Danny Cavadlo.
Hey! That's about all the fanfare you get, dude.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on. It's great to talk to you guys. I've enjoyed what I've heard from you, and I think you're hilarious, and I'm looking forward to having fun.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for being here. In hell yeah. In Danny's honor, Ghost Joe, I'm drinking light beer today.
Oh, that's right. No, I don't drink light beer. If I drink beer, I drink beer.
If he's gonna go, he goes for the gusto. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So Danny, how long have you been a fitness guy? How long have you been training people and stuff? How long have you been into it?
I've been working professionally as a personal trainer and nothing else since about 2006. I was into working out and fitness as a teenager, just lifting weights and stuff like that. And then I had several different careers doing different things, doing stupid stuff, everything from being a clown to being an exterminator. I played in bands. I did marketing stuff. And then when my son was born, when I was 31, at the time, it was a funny job. I was working for Bacardi and I was doing spring break promotion. So I would go to like what they called party towns, but it was really college towns. So we go to like Gainesville or like College Station, Texas, or like State College, Pennsylvania, like places like that, and have like events at the clubs. And it was deliberately, I shouldn't say this, but at the time, it was deliberately marketed to like 100 kids, 100%.
Damn.
You know, and then I never cared. But then when my son was born, I'm holding this little baby. I'm like, ah. And so then I was urged by several people that I should be a personal trainer. I was like, I'm 31. I can't, you know. So I started doing it. Everyone else who started out what I was doing was like 19. I was like, okay, whatever. But I'd work harder than any of them because I drove trucks and stuff. So, it ascended from there. I worked for gyms. I went independent, and that led to the books and doing different types of personal group certifications and training, stuff like that.
Yeah, Joe, I'll tell you, we touched on it a little bit before, but I wear my cards on, you know, wear my heart on my sleeve. You know, I got the lap band a while ago because I'm an American. I want my results immediate, you know. But when I first started trying to get my body right, get healthier, I started training with Danny, and he's no, we're not going to go to the gym. We'll go to the park. So, man, I'm thinking, we'll jog around the park, we'll bullshit. Man, this guy worked me. worked me like he was the Pharaoh and I was building the pyramid, bro.
But I'm the Jew, Tommy. I'm the Jew. Bro. No, right. We met up. We did squats, push-ups, pulls on the bars. Yeah, you worked hard, brother.
Hey, man, but it was all Danny's training and getting that kind of training out of the park. You're actually dealing with Danny. You're dealing with a guy that knows what to do with just the, here's a brick. You're going to lift it 100,000 times. You know what I mean?
Right on. Well, thank you. That's very kind. It's funny because, me and my brother, Al, he's also a trainer. We've been doing this like minimalist type of training in the park or workout at home or wherever, West Side Highway, blah, 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 with minimal equipment, a bench, a bar, a brick, whatever. And then when this crazy, COVID madness started, March 16th is when they closed the gyms in New York City. Poof, everything is done. And then all of a sudden, everyone's coming out with, hey, work out with minimal equipment, work out with, very little, work out with a brick, work out with the step, work out with the bench, work out with just a bar. I was like, yo, we've been doing this for years, man. Come train with me online. And we have a book called Get Strong, which you mentioned. It was a number one bestseller on Amazon. And it's a progressive program here, Get Strong. It's a 16-week progressive program using very little equipment. And we gave it away for free when the whole pandemic, right, happened and people were terrified and, and at the time, understandably distraught with all the mayhem and everything going on. We gave away the PDF to anyone. We put the link on Facebook, on Instagram, on all that. But at that time, it's just interesting to me how I've always said that like calisthenics or minimum or body weight training, that's how it started. Like if you go back to like whatever ancient Greeks or this and that old gymnasiums, then things advanced through whatever Bally's Total Fitness, Equinox, blah, blah, blah. And now like the mirror or whatever the stuff they got. And now poof, all of a sudden everything is back to, okay, here's a step and a pull up bar.
Minimalist.
So Tommy got to experience that firsthand.
Yeah. But that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because your regimen is perfect for the times,
Agreed. It's
exactly what the COVID era needs.
It's the weird thing. It's like people are either working out outdoors. I mean, in New York City, it's, we got a very strange situation going on here. It's like they're trying to put gyms out of business and other businesses too. But that aside, what's going on is people who want training or need training, it's right, either outside with nothing or like this, like Zoom or Skype or FaceTime or some interface like that. And that's how I had to remake my business too. It's like I'm still doing some in-person training, but for a lot of people aren't either comfortable with that. But it went okay for me because I'm doing online with a lot of people and I'm able to work with people I wouldn't have otherwise been able to work with. Like I got a guy in Singapore. I got two people in Boston. I got people in Wisconsin.
No kidding.
So,
that's the beauty.
Positioned itself okay for me, but man, I can't wait to do more in-person stuff, man. And that goes beyond fitness. That's life oriented.
Right. Yeah. Get out, see a show.
So you mentioned that you had that book. How many books do you have out?
Oh man, I put out the first book that I did in 2013 called Everybody Needs Training. It was a how-to to be a personal trainer. Because I rose fast. I'm not gonna brag, but I went from being like an entry-level junior trainer who was 15 years old than everybody to being the manager, to going to the biggest gym, to going independent and doing well. So I had access to put out a book with a fitness publisher and I was like, fuck it, I'm doing this. So it was a how-to book to be a trainer. Nobody bought it because a lot of people don't want to be trainers. So then I did another book called Diamond Cut Abs and then Strength Rules. So those are the first three I did. And then I did three collaborations with my brother called Street Workout, which is just all this crazy street workout shit you see on YouTube. And then Get Strong, the one I mentioned, the progressive program. And then a book called Next Level Strength, which is about training with rings and parallettes. Still minimal equipment, you know, stuff you can get on Amazon and hang up in your apartment. But, you know, you can't put out the same material for six books, maybe five.
Yeah, man. You are the perfect city workout, bro.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yo, that book, Street Workout, we took those pictures. Well, we traveled a lot doing the certification. So we took all those pictures in different cities everywhere. I mean, of course, New York, Times Square, Coney Island, you know, all over the place. But also abroad. Like, we got pictures in that book from friggin' England, Australia, Sweden, Germany, China, like all over the place, like doing the no equipment stuff everywhere. So it's as much like a coffee table book. I'm proud of the photos, as it is a workout book. It's fun stuff.
Sweet.
That's cool. So when somebody comes to you for like training, like what, I know, you know, cause I know I've had many, many excuses, you know, of why I'm the way I am. Like has anybody given you like some excuses of like why they either why they're coming to you or why they gained weight or why they look the way they are?
You know, I mean, I don't know if I have any crazy excuse stories. It's just, you know, like life goes on. Like, you know, if you're doing stuff, you're not necessarily thinking about your fitness. And then, you know, you put on whatever, friggin' 2 pounds a year since high school. It's not a lot. But 20 years goes by and now you're 40, 50 pounds overweight. You're like, what the hell happened to me? Or whatever. So, you know, people do make excuses. People make excuses for everything in life. People make excuses for staying at a shitty job or staying at a shitty marriage or being unhappy with their body. Oh, you hear excuses
you're
all day.
To two prison guards.
I didn't do
you're
it.
Talking to two prison you know? Guards. We know that excuse.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, you're right. So I don't got to tell you. Yeah, people make excuses. In your case, literally all the time. But like outside, you know, still most of the time. But it's you know, you got, you know, you got, this applies to prison too, right? You got 24 hours in a day. What you choose to them is really up to you. You know, right now you got people putting on 50 pounds over the last 9 months because of lockdowns and shit. But the truth is, if you got, you know, 3 hours to sit there on, you know, watching Netflix or Facebook or YouTube or just bullshitting, then you got maybe 30 minutes. You could do a little workout a few times a week. And at this point, I don't think any of us are that busy. I mean, look, when I was busier as a trainer, the people I trained at like 5 in the morning, these were people that were like CEOs that had like 3 kids that lived in Long Island and worked in Manhattan and commuted back and forth. They were busy motherfuckers. That's why they're training at 5 a.m. You know, so it's like you choose with anything. You want to learn a language. You want to learn an instrument. You want to, anything you want to do. You want to raise chickens. You got to put in time. You got to learn how to do it.
Well, speaking of instruments, Joe, Danny was yet another member of the Flatbush Avenue I'm a Rockstar crew. Yeah, dude, and Danny, tell me if I'm wrong. When we're growing up, Joe, we all lived on Flatbush Avenue or within walking distance, and we hung out with members of Biohazard, Life of Agony, Type O Negative, among others. We would go to Lemoore 3 times a week. I thought everybody had these opportunities.
It's really crazy because you look at stuff now, like the Lemoore Facebook group and things like that, and just even like VH1 naming Lemoore as the best rock club ever and stuff like that. Right. You know, you're 19 years old and it's a Saturday. Of course you're there. And it's like, you look back now in 2020 and it's like, you mentioned these bands, Type-O, they're a legendary band. Like, there are people who are moved to tears when, you know, when they think about Type-O and when they listen to the music or Life of Agony. You know, 30 years in the game, they're still touring. You know, I was supposed to see them at Warsaw in Brooklyn, but it got canceled. because of COVID. It was April, and then it was September, and then it was like, okay, whatever. But, you know, that's a band I seen at Fastlane in like 1989. So these are like, and, you know, traveling and stuff, like I'll go to Europe or whatever, and people will be like, you're from Brooklyn? Biohazard. You know, I mean, this right. I thought everybody had that too.
Hold on, let me text Billy.
There's a real thing happening. There's a real thing happening in like the 90s, early 90s, Brooklyn, New York. I was telling my girl the other day, I was like, you know, I think I saw like Biohazard, Leeway, and White Zombie.
Exactly. I was at that show, bro.
I think White Zombie, they're playing Ozfest, you know, or headlining stadiums, and, you know, hardworking dude, that guy.
I honestly was naive enough to think that everybody growing up listening to metal when we were kids had that, and it's not true.
Right, you think about the bands that came through L'Amour. Everybody came through L'Amour. I still regret, because I was going to Midwood at the time, that it was Voivod, Faith No More, and Soundgarden on like a Thursday, and kids I knew were going, and I was like, I can't.
One of the Thursday night shows was Iron Maiden. I went with
your brother. I didn't go to that one. Yeah, you guys did. That's cool, man.
I remember that was the first night I went. I pulled an all nighter. Went right from the club to school the next morning.
So crazy.
Yeah, when I was actually in a cover band like 10, 15 years ago, I guess, and, you know, practicing on Staten Island and stuff. And I had me and my band, we had a monthly room in a studio over there, a rehearsal studio. And the guy who owns it was like, oh, by the way, you guys are getting neighbors. Like within the next couple of days, there's going to be a band that's going to be over there. We're like, oh yeah, do we know them? Like, yeah, Typo Negative. They're like, what? Like, that's sick.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was like a couple of days later, Pete Steele passed away.
Yeah, that hit me like a ton of bricks, bro. I didn't see that coming.
It's you know, it's such a crazy death, because for somebody like Peter, who, I mean, in Brooklyn, I mean, everybody knew that guy. He was around. He'd be jogging in his short shorts on Avenue L. Yeah. A long time ago.
I used to tell Joe, Pete lived on East 18th. I was on East 28th.
You were on 25th.
You were on 48th, I think.
48th.
Yeah, we're all walking distance from each other.
Man. Yeah. I live now. I don't want to, you know, disclose exactly, but I'm like by 15th and K right over there. So I'm not far from that Mecca even now. I'm still in the neighborhood.
Well, you can jog out and get to Farah, right? Before the line.
That's my corner. There's a line. The Farah, there's a line up the block right now. Like people line up for that. It's that old man. He's been there since like 1969, that dude.
We were growing up, bro. That pizza was nothing. Nobody knew nothing.
I get some write-ups in the Village Voice, the Food Channel. Things change back. But even back then, when the place was empty, you still had to wait an hour for a slice for some reason.
Right. Millennium John's guy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you had told us that you don't really have any personal paranormal experiences of your own, but you said that you've been to some spooky places.
Yeah, that is what I said. You know, not you know, paranormal. I can't say I've had communication with anything in any other realm, but I've been some places. For example, even playing music, you know, I was in a band in 1994. We toured in Germany, and on one of the days off, we went to, I don't even know what the fuck it was. It was like a German death museum. And only the Germans would do this, right? It was like actual body. I think the building had like collapsed in some crazy way 100 years ago, and it preserved these bodies. And what they wound up doing was they turned into a death museum. And you really did get chills going in there, because what you're looking at, like this close to your face, is a 100-year-old person that got crushed by a building in that very spot. And here they are. So I'm
no way.
Yeah. I think it was sick, bro. I can't remember. I have photos from it. It's fucked up. It's like this dude's head. It's like Beetlejuice, like where the guy gets the shrunken head.
Right, right.
It's yeah, like yeah. that. And I'm like, you know, something like that next to it. It's fucked up. So that was a creepy place. And you really do feel the vibes. Another place that I went to where I definitely, again, not paranormal, but, you know, as CEOs, right? I went when I was in San Francisco on a tour of Alcatraz. I know it's a corny touristy okay. thing to do, but I'll tell you, man, that place gives me the willies. Like you take that boat ride up, you right. know, and right. you're walking through the actual place.
Yeah.
And you could really feel that there's some anguish and pain in those walls.
Yeah, it's well, if there's any place that there's going to be anguish and pain, it's going to be in a jail. You know,
yeah, I could,
especially a notorious one yeah. like that, you know.
Yeah, seriously, you feel the suffering in the air. Bringing it back to fitness, and for a quick plug, my yes. original tie to this publisher was from a book called Convict Conditioning 2, which was written by a guy named Paul Wade, who did time in like San Quentin. He did like 20 years. He's old now, but he developed this prison system of minimalist training.
I remember that book. I remember yeah. the tie when you first published.
Yeah, yeah. That was like 2011, maybe.
Yeah.
And he, for whatever reason, he wanted anonymity. You know, he didn't want any photos of himself on it. So he used a picture of me and my brother on the cover and some photos of us in the book. And that's what ultimately led us to other things. So thank you, okay. Paul Wade, and Convict Conditioning and prison and Alcatraz and workout. There we go.
That's great.
So, all right. So I'm going to ask you a few things here. Now, paranormal encompasses a lot of things, right? Paranormal is ghosts and aliens and all sorts of other things, right? So I'll ask you, you know, I'll give you a topic and you tell me if you believe in it.
Okay.
All right. What about aliens? You believe in aliens and UFOs?
Oh, I believe there's other life somewhere, but no, I don't believe in UFOs. Not that kind of alien, no.
There's been, I'll tell you though, man, and me and Tommy have been talking about it a lot. There has been like every week, like something new coming out in major media about UFOs or some kind of scientist is saying that they exist. Uh-huh. It's kind of strange lately. And, you know, being that we have this podcast now doing research and stuff, it's pretty interesting. I mean, I never really, you know, it would be naive to believe that there's no other life.
Right. There's something out there, but it might be like a bacteria or an algae.
Right.
Or something yeah. so advanced, we can't even see it for that matter.
Right. Right. So, you know, what the aliens look like and stuff, how they're like gray and the big head and the big eyes and stuff. Right. If an alien came up to you and asked you, you know, cause they're usually very skinny. If they came up to you and asked you like, how do they bulk up their arms and stuff? Like what would you tell the alien? Oh,
that alien, he's got to work out. That ET, he's got a pencil neck for real. That guy, you know, they got to get moving. They got to get out of that spaceship.
what about Bigfoot? They're called cryptids. You know, they're like these mythical creatures, I guess you could say, that a lot of people have seen, like Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, the Chupacabra. What do you think of Bigfoot?
I don't think there's a Bigfoot. I don't.
No? No?
No, it's a no.
So if there was a Bigfoot, and you know, all the pictures and stuff that you see in all the video, they're walking a certain way, you know, that slouch and that, what would you tell a Bigfoot to get rid of that slouch? Like, well,
you know, since he's Bigfoot, he's probably putting too much weight in the front of his feet. So what he needs to do is get back in his okay. heels, lift up his chest, bring his shoulder blades back, lift up his chin, you know, and get more weight away from those big feet. And into his heels over there. That would be my suggestion for him.
I told you, Ghost Joe, Danny's a monster, bro. you see him. See, people listening right now don't see. He's actually leaning back. He's holding up his chin. Go ahead, train with him if you want to get.
We're serious about a train. I am accepting clients, by the way. You know?
There we go. We're gonna link everything you got, your Instagram and everything. We're gonna link it to our Facebook group and our
show. Right on.
Yeah, I mean, you could bounce a quarter off your abs, bro. I mean, you could bounce a quarter off my stomach, but it might kill somebody if it hits.
Very funny.
Well, what about zombies? What do you think of zombies? You think we'll ever see a zombie apocalypse?
I think we're living in the zombie apocalypse, brother.
Amen.
I walk around, and I up is down, and right is left, and I don't know. So if you asked me this 9 months ago, I would have said, no, I don't believe in zombies, but I see them every day.
Yeah.
So I do.
Now, zombies, their diet is usually, you know, like human brains, right? Do you think they're getting enough nutrients and vitamins?
Is there enough protein in the human brain?
Well, you know, organ meats.
Hold on. God bless you, Danny, for being a good sport. God bless you.
So, you know, like we have a tendency to eat just like the flesh, right? Like the T-bone steak or the chicken breast. But like organ meats, right? We're the only culture that doesn't really eat like hearts and kidneys. And the zombie culture, they eat brains. So they're probably getting enough protein from that, but they might need some veggies, you know? some plants, some broccoli.
And last but not least, what about ghosts and hauntings? That's my favorite subject with paranormal.
You know, out of anything you said, I'd be more leaning to that. Because I swear, man, I definitely do feel things sometimes when I go places. I can't say I've seen a ghost, but I've felt shit. I felt energy out of certain places. And I think that places have that, like old places, like with old wood walls, like you feel some life.
Right.
Some places like that still exist. I had the opportunity a few years ago to be in the, not just the back of the sideshow at Coney Island, but also upstairs in the museum and the art studio. Marie Roberts, the painter over there, her studio was above the sideshow.
Right.
And there was mad energy back there. I mean, you could just really feel. And this is like a place that's there's been performers for a very, 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 very decades and generations and generations. You know, when there were fires there and right. people have lived and people have died.
That building actually, I think, dates back to when Coney Island was actually a summer tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had always had like some type of boardwalk stuff going on over there, except for this summer. But
yeah.
I can't not talk about this shit.
I know, man. I know.
Trying not to. It's everywhere.
So if Casper was a 40-year-old guy with a couple kids, a wife, a house, and a full-time job, and a pretty busy podcast going on, what
just
book?
Just say Ghost Joe. Don't say Casper. Just say Ghost Joe.
What book should he get first to get started?
Well, first of all, I don't know if the people listening, I wish they could see you because he's wearing this white shirt like a ghost. He's practically wearing a sheet like a ghost costume over here. So, yeah, I would say get strong. It's the simplest one. It's the most broken down one. A lot of the other stuff is just like, here's a bunch of exercises. Here's one or two workouts. Put it together. But get strong is the most linear. Hey, do this many times. Hey, take a break. Hey, do that. Hey, do this. Can you do this? Okay, move on. So I would say get strong for you or just the most versatile one, the most open-ended one.
Now, and get strong, it goes at your own pace as a reader, right? Or as someone working out. I mean,
yeah, the way it works is, you know, it's divided into different phases, you know? So it's four phases. Each one is 4 weeks. If you get to the week four and you can't, and you're not at a certain point, then you don't go to the next phase. You stay where you're at, or you repeat weeks 3 and 4. And then, so it's progressively minded. So of course, marketing is marketing, and we do want to sell books.
Right.
So it's deliberately subtitled The Ultimate 16-Week Transformation Program for Gaining Muscle and Strength. using the power of progressive calisthenics, which is a mouthful,
yeah.
But the focus being on the ultimate 16-week program. So obviously, anytime you put anything together, right? But let's say a workout, anything you put, new time you put it together, it's always something hypothetical. It's never going to be exactly this many for that person or rest exactly 60 seconds. So there's always like some generic template. That's why what I really do is personal training. If I'm next to somebody and I see them every week or even every other week or whatever it is, then it's like I know where they're at and I know them. But if it's like people write me, people send me letters, they're like, hey, Danny, what should I do? I'm like, well, it's hard to say. How old are you? Do you work out? What's your height? What's your weight? Do you have any injuries? Do you have any disabilities? Like, I don't fucking know. Keep writing me letters because I do reply to all of them. But if I don't know, I don't know.
You know what? Perfect segue, dude. Give us how to contact you. If I'm a guy listening to the program and I want a Zoom workout, how do I contact you?
You could hit me on Facebook, either Danny Cavallo or Danny the Trainer. Danny the Trainer is the business page. You can message me on either one, or Danny Cavallo is my personal page. DannyKavadlo. On Instagram, I'm at, what's that little sign? I don't even know how to say it. At Danny Cavallo, DannyKavadlo. My website is DannyTheTrainer.com. So you can message me through my website too, and it'll go to my email, and then I'll write you back for my personal email. So hit me up. We're doing personal training. We'll talk. We'll figure it out. Everybody's program is different. Everybody's sessions is different. So I don't like to divulge too much until we consult and figure it out from there.
Right. Okay, cool.
All right. So before we close out, man, what do you have planned next? Do you have any more books coming out? Do you have anything going on right now? I know with the whole pandemic thing is crazy, but.
Yeah, good question. You know, I am working on another book. It's really in the infancy, so I haven't really talked about it very much, but it's going to be something very different. It's going to incorporate, you know, a little bit of, it's going to still be mostly calisthenics. We're going to bring some other types of training into it. It's going to be like a hybrid training book. So it's what I'm holding my computer up with right now. I have like a bunch of notes and stuff. I'm scribbling it down. It was the wrong height. So I had to like, I was like, let me put it here. So I'm working on that. And I'm not in a rush at all. You know, so I'm really working at it at my pace. There's been times where I've had projects where I've either had deadlines or I've had self-imposed deadlines. And it was really like, okay, lock yourself in a room for 5 hours. And right now, I have the time to not do it that way. I have the time to really think about it a little bit. Not that I didn't think about the other ones, but it doesn't have to be breakneck speed this time.
That's good.
It's, you know, I'm working on new stuff. So I'm doing some experimenting. I'm, you know, revisiting other things. So I'm having fun with it. And, you know, I'm working out with my kid. He's 14, so he's at a point.
He's 14 now?
14,
oh,
man.
My God, bro.
How old is your boy? Like 18?
He's 18, yeah. He's in college, bro. Yeah.
Crazy. Is he in school? Is he going?
He's in school. He's in the dorm, but he's only allowed to go from the dorm to class, sit in class, and they got all the – barriers up around each workstation in class. Then he's allowed to go from class to the cafeteria, either take food out or go sit down with the same barriers, and then he gets to go back to his room, which all the kids are getting their own room. He's loving it, but that's not college, bro.
But my kid's high school experience is this what we're doing now.
No kidding, really?
2 o'clock, yeah.
Yeah, try doing it with a kid in pre-K.
I can't. That's all I've been saying. Pre-K. All I keep saying is, at least my kid, he's 14. He can read. He can write. He can do math. I mean, he's better with the computer than I am. Like, he's like, Dad, it's like this. Here's Google Meetup. Da 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 da. I can't imagine. Wow, that's tough. So how are you holding up?
Well, no, I don't have to deal with it. My wife.
Right. That's true.
I'm sure it's pretty hard.
Plural, like yous. How yous guys holding up?
I'm sure it's awful for her.
Yeah, the kid too. The kid's like, this sucks.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. It was cool. Thank you for playing along with everything.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
You're a good sport, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Great to see you. I'd love to see you in person one of these days.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, I'm coming down to Brooklyn to go to Lenny and John soon. So,
all right, hit me up. Same I number.
Definitely will. All right, brother.
Sounds good. Good night.
Take it easy. Thanks, good night.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ghost Hacks Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and find us on Facebook groups. If you have any paranormal experiences you would like to share, please email joeghosthackspodcast@gmail.com and we may even read your submission on the air. Have a good night, and don't forget to change your shorts.